Good morning. It's good to be with you today, and I am looking forward to joining you at the picnic in just a few minutes. Beautiful day for it. Let us begin with prayer. Gracious God, bless us in the power of your Holy Spirit to enable your word to speak to us this day. Through Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes to us from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse numbered 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For many years, our son Nathan participated in my last congregation's annual mission trip to Maine. And for many years, my wife and I drove Nathan to Maine. He gave us the opportunity to take some mini vacations up and back. One year, we went to Maine by way of Canada. It wasn't the most direct route, but we wanted to see Montreal, Toronto. It was a great trip. We visited the Hockey Hall of Fame, saw a baseball game, visited a beautiful cathedral, and walked through a market that had a distinctive bohemian feel. When we were heading back, we went through immigration, and once we got into New England, Nathan from the back seat pipes up and says, "It's good to be home." It was good to be home. He was talking about our return to the States, of course, but somehow, even though he was only 14 or 15 years old at the time, he touched on a deep human need, a deep yearning, a deep longing that many of us carry within us. I once heard a runaway in New York City tell her story. She had left her family and was now living on the streets of New York. The interviewer asked this 16-year-old, "What do you think these runaway children are looking for?" And without hesitation, she responded, "Someone to care for them. Someone who loves them." And there we have it again, don't we? That yearning, that desire, that need for home? One of my friends is a former Catholic priest who was unceremoniously defrocked when he expressed a desire to get married, and like that, he was kicked out of the church. He has devoted his life to working among the homeless in Wilmington, Delaware, and he recently retired after 30 years of leading this homeless effort. Watching him work among the homeless on Saturday nights was amazing. His combination of strength and power on the one hand and unbelievable compassion and love on the other. He taught me many things, but among those, he taught me that being homeless is not the same thing as being houseless. Indeed, that many of us who have houses to go to do not really have a home. And that indeed, those on the streets are looking for a home, a community, a place, a network of relationships where they feel safe and secure and accepted. Are you looking for a home too? Home is at the heart of this morning's New Testament reading. John is writing to Christians in what is now modern-day Turkey, Christians who are experiencing horrible persecution. They are suffering persecution because of their faith. They are hurting. They are afraid. They are not safe. And they want to feel accepted. One day, John tells them, one day God will bring in a new heaven and a new earth. All rights will be alive in the world, and all wrongs will pass away. John tells them that God's home is with you. God will dwell with you. You will be God's people, and God's home will be among you. God's home, John wants us to know, is not a far distant place, far removed from us. No. John wants us to know that God's home is with us. For home is that place, that community, that network of relationships where we feel safe and secure and accepted. Many Christians look at our faith as, oh, how can I get to heaven? How can I get from there to here? But the good news of the gospel is that heaven is coming to us, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Home is coming to us. Our home is with God. Do any of you remember, and I hope you do, J.P. Richardson? Does that name ring a bell? He was better known as the Big Bopper. Beaumont, Texas was his home. He had a hit single in the 1950s called Chantilly Lace. You have heard of Chantilly Lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down, a wiggle and a walk and a wiggle and a talk makes the world go round. Okay, now some of you are awake. That's good. He died on February 3rd, 1959 with Buddy Holly. They were killed when their chartered airplane crashed outside of Clear Lake, Iowa on the winter dance party circuit. They were going from town to town singing and celebrating with all the young people in these towns. The tour was arduous. The temperature plunged below freezing. The heater on their bus stopped working. One of the band members got frostbite. And so Buddy Holly chartered this plane to carry him and a couple of members of his band to the next destination. And J.P. Richardson, the Big Bopper, was on that plane. They were all killed. J.P. Richardson Jr. was only 3 months old when his father was killed, and he grew up wanting to know everything he could find out about his father. He spoke to Waylon Jennings, and some of you might remember that Waylon Jennings was an original member of the Crickets, Buddy Holly and the Crickets. He spoke to everyone he could about his father, trying to understand who this man was. And finally, he spoke to DJ Bob Hale. And it just so happened that that winter, Bob Hale's wife was also pregnant, the winter of 1959. Bob explained to J.P. Jr. that the Big Bopper walked up to his wife during that tour and said to her, "May I put my hand on your stomach?" And then he added, "This is what I miss most about being on the road, so far away from home, feeling my child kick." And when J.P. Jr. heard this, tears began to stream down his face, and he said, "I'm trying to find out who my father is, and now I know that my daddy loved me before I was born." Loved me before I was born. J.P. Jr. was talking about his father, of course, but he was also talking about our God. The witness of the Bible is that God loves us with a deep and abiding passion, a passion that began burning well before any of us were ever born. Where does God want to be? Who is God? God wants to be with us. God's home is with us. And if God's home is with us and among us, what does that tell us about who we are called to be? If God's home is here, if we really believe that God is here, what does that mean about how we relate to one another and about how we relate to the world? I love superhero movies. I love comic books when I was growing up, DC or Marvel. I love all of them. But when I heard that DC was putting out a movie, Marvel, the Guardians of the Universe, I had very low expectations. Guardians? What? a movie about them. Who are they? Strange bunch of heroes. One is a genetically enhanced and mechanically modified raccoon by the name of Rocket, who has a sharp wit. Really? A superhero who's a raccoon? And the other is a superhero by the name of Groot. Groot is a sentient tree that moves around, and Groot can talk, but Groot can only say three words. I am Groot. Groot, how did you like that sermon this morning? I am Groot. Groot, are you joining us for the picnic? I am Groot. That's all they could say is, I am Groot. I am Groot. Throughout the whole movie, I am Groot. I am Groot. At the end of the movie, as the hero's spaceship is hurtling toward a planet ready to vaporize, Groot begins to grow all these vines and limbs, and he surrounds and embraces all of his friends in this hard wooden cocoon, and Rocket, the little raccoon, begins to yell out, no, Groot, no, why are you doing this? It will kill you, it will kill you. And he continues to circle his friends, no, no. And then Groot says, we are Groot. It's the best line in the whole movie. We are Groot. Home is that place, that community, that network of relationships where we feel safe and secure. When we know that God's home is among us. When we know that God has claimed us and that we are brothers and sisters. We are Groot. I looked up one Sunday morning about 12 years ago, and sitting in the very back row, I was a man and a woman I had never seen before. They were visiting that day. I looked at the visitor pad later, and sure enough, they were new, and they said that they wanted to join the church, which is interesting. First time there, want to join the church? It happens sometimes. Okay, all right. So I made an appointment to go visit them. Showed up at their home, sat down with the man and the woman, and I discovered that they really did want to join the church, but that they could not attend any of the new member meetings, and indeed, they probably could never come back to church. He was dying of cancer. And he wanted to join a church and be baptized before he died. Now, Presbyterians don't have private baptism. We believe that it is a celebration for the entire community, but this was an exception, of course. So one Wednesday morning, about 10:30, two other elders and I drove over to their house. We sat down in their living room. They had coffee and cookies prepared for us, and we spent an hour just talking with one another. How did they meet? Their children, their grandchildren. Oh, how they love getting in the RV and traveling throughout the country. And after we talked, I got a bowl of water, scooped up a handful of water, poured it over his head, and said those words that have been said for 2,000 years, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What was he looking for? A church? Maybe. What was he looking for? He was looking for home. He yearned to know that he was not alone. He longed to know that his life had meaning and purpose. He wanted to know that God loved him and accepted him and embraced him. Home is that community, that place, that network of relationships where we feel safe and accepted. Welcome home this morning. Welcome home. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for the safety and the embrace and acceptance of this community. Thank you for making your home among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.